This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. What was Boise like back in the 1930s? Well, now we know more thanks to an unpublished guidebook from that time. It was just discovered. Vardis Fisher's manuscript sat in storage for more than 80 years before Boise State University's Alex Margaglia stumbled upon it just this month. Alex is joining us live in studio today to talk more about what he found. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, this is a pretty incredible find. How did you come across this manuscript?
It was a circuitous journey. I've been working on a long-term research project about Caxton Printers, a book publishing company in Caldwell, Idaho, and their relationship with Vardis Fisher, who was an Idaho novelist. And it was from that research that led me to dig further into the Federal Writers Project. And so I was reading a book about Vardis Fisher's experience with the Federal Writers Project, and in a footnote, it mentioned that there were unpublished manuscripts. And so
what?
Then from that footnote, I tracked down an oral history with Vardis Fisher, which led me to the University of Rochester, New York, which then led me to the Library of Congress.
Holy cow. Okay, so this manuscript actually sat like untouched for many decades. I mean, upwards of what? Almost 90?
80 years.
80 years. So what work did you do then with the text to make it ready to publish?
Sure. The first part was to type it up and put it into an editable format, because the only thing that existed in the Library of Congress were these typescript pages that had been there since 1939. So the first thing to do was to get it into an editable format. And then we cleaned up the text a little bit. And then I tracked down historic photographs. Fisher had intended for photographs to illustrate the text if it had been published at the time. And so that was one of my responsibilities, was to find photographs to illustrate Fisher's words.
So take me back to the Library of Congress then, and how the manuscript actually got there. Was this because did he give over his works to the Library of Congress, or how did that work?
So Fisher wrote it in 1938. He did write other things for the Federal Writers Project, which did get published.
Okay.
His most famous project his most famous book for that project was the Idaho, A Guide in Word and Picture, which was a statewide guide. And that was the first guide out of any of the states in the U.S., and it got a lot of national attention. And so he worked on the Boise Guide as an additional project on this, but he couldn't find a sponsor for it. Nobody in Boise, in the city council, the state historical society, nobody wanted to sponsor it. And those projects required a sponsor in order to be published. And since he couldn't find a sponsor, it just got shelved. And then when the project closed down in the 1940s, it just got sent back to Washington, D.C., and then the papers were given to the Library of Congress.
So you've described the book, and this is a quote, as an unfiltered look at Boise of the mid-1930s, the city in the years after the Great Depression. So describe Boise in the 1930s. I'm assuming it looked a little bit different.
It was very different. And what's most interesting is that it's not just a look at Boise in the 1930s, but it's a look at Boise through the lens of Vardis Fisher, who was very much an individualist, who was sarcastic and acerbic. And if he didn't like something, he wasn't afraid to mention that. And so
so what was something he didn't like?
A lot of the architecture he was not fond of. The first sentence of the entire guidebook is a very passive comment. He writes, "As cities go, Boise is physically attractive, but it is the trees and not the buildings that make it so."
Oh, okay then.
And in referring to the state capitol, he refers to it as having the customary lack of originality found in all buildings patterned after the parent in Washington, D.C.
Oh, snap. So okay then. So maybe this is why nobody wanted to publish it, right?
It certainly wouldn't come with the seal of approval of the Chamber of Commerce at the time.
Right, or City Hall, right? Yeah,
indeed.
I mean, come on.
Indeed.
Do you have a favorite story that came out of the manuscript?
I think it's so interesting to see what was important to Fisher and to other Boiseans at the time. And so he talks a lot about Arrow Rock Dam, which was constructed in 1915. And it was the first dam on the Boise River. And he refers to it as an engineering marvel of Idaho. And today, I don't think people think that much about Arrow Rock Dam. But at the time, even at the time that he was writing, it still was one of the largest concrete dams in the U.S. And so it garnered a lot of attention. So reading the guidebook puts your focus into a different world.
So the dam was beautiful, just not the buildings.
Indeed.
Right?
Yes.
For you, I mean, you are a professor, you're a librarian, you're an archivist. How does it feel to find something like this that, I mean, that's just been sitting there with no one even being aware that it existed?
It was thrilling coming across that footnote and realizing that there was the chance that an unpublished manuscript by Vardis Fischer existed was very exciting. And then to see it come to fruition in a published book is very exciting too.
I mean, this has kind of got to be like an archivist's dream, right? That you think, I mean, but this doesn't happen very often.
Well, it really reveals the value and importance of all archives. So not only at the Library of Congress, but at the archives at Boise State, there are countless untold stories that exist, and they're just waiting to be found and brought to light by researchers.
What do you think we can learn beyond, you know, the history, beyond the facts, from a manuscript like this?
That there is a historical perspective. That Boise of 2020 in some ways does look very similar to Boise of 1938, but then looks different in countless other ways.
Well, if you think about it, right, probably the buildings he was lamenting about, the majority of them are probably still downtown.
Yes, there are lots of recognizable buildings and sites and things that he mentions in the book that people can still...
Because you think about it, like, you've got the Idaho. I mean, he mentioned the state capitol.
Yes.
What, there's the Alexander building. I mean, you can go down the list of these buildings that were all there.
Absolutely. And he also talks a lot about Hotel Boise, too, which is now the Hoff building.
Oh, really? Did he like it?
He actually didn't. But he talks about how people at the time, so in the late 1930s, preferred the Hotel Boise architecture to the Idaho, and that nobody cared much for the Idaho at the time. But Fischer had the perceptive forethought to say that in 30 years or 40 years' time, that opinion might switch.
Oh,
because I would say today, the Idaho does have a lot of attention and has a lot of interest to people in Boise.
It's because there's all the ghosts in there.
Indeed.
That's why. Okay, so where can people, can people get the book?
It'll be released tonight at Rediscovered Books downtown. They're also the ones publishing it. They started a publishing arm last year. So the release event will be at Rediscovered Books at 8th and Idaho tonight at 7 p.m.
So... any other favorite story or part of the manuscript?
He describes a tour at the end of the guidebook to Table Rock, and he gives cautionary advice that people should only travel to Table Rock if they have experience driving moderately difficult mountain roads.
Oh, okay. That's true. Yeah. But no hiking it, right? Just drive up there?
Right.
So the event is this evening. What time?
7 p.m.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking with Alex Margaglia with Boise State University. He's an archivist who recently discovered an unpublished manuscript for a book on Boise back in the 30s. And you can find more about the book event tonight on our website. Go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.